This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
It's a Thursday morning, which means I get to spend some quality time with Dr. Wendy Christen, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Good morning, Wendy. Hope you're well.
Good morning, Brad. I am well. I hope you are too.
Yes, not too bad, thanks. We get to go another week chatting around managing seasonal allergies and hay fever. For our listeners, go and check in on our app or our website, and you can go and have a look at the previous two parts that we've already covered as we move into part three. I just want to quickly add, I was so taken by a conversation last week, Wendy, about quercetin. I was having a salad with my wife with red onion, and as I bit into the red onion, I thought, ooh, I better tell her that this is a food that has got a good source of quercetin, and so began the quercetin conversation. So thanks so much for planting these things in our minds already.
It's a pleasure. And, you know, if you think about it, there's so many foods that have so many very valuable properties. So if we're eating all of those colorful foods and we have a variety, then, you know, our diets are pretty well support. They support our bodies really well.
Yeah, we've worked through, we chatted around quercetin and quercetin-rich foods or supplements. We touched on vitamin C, local raw honey. Today, the probiotic conversation, Wendy, we've touched on the gut and the importance of the gut. So are we suggesting here, as we touch on probiotics, the gut is also at play when it comes to allergies and hay fever?
Absolutely. So your digestive system and your liver will probably be the two most important organs when it comes to allergens, and obviously your immune system. But if we're thinking about where does it all start, it very often starts in the digestive tract. So if we're looking at probiotic foods, we want to think at what, you know, because some of them are fermented, that can potentially exacerbate histamine production. So we want to make sure if we're struggling with allergies that we're not overloading on histamine-rich foods.
So help us to understand, because fermented foods are good for us in terms of probiotics. So just touch on that again. You said something about it needs to minimize histamine production. So is there like a little fine line here between what's enough and what's too much?
There is a fine line. So obviously fermented foods are good. And for the average person, it's important that we do include those in our diet. And those are things like yogurt and kefir and sauerkraut, kombucha, kimchi, and then obviously probiotic supplements. But because the bacteria break down, or as a process of digestion, they make histamine during that fermentation process. That histamine production can cause a problem for people who struggle with overproduction of histamine.
This is very interesting. So, how do we make the right choice for those who are very sensitive to histamine? Which are then the best choices? Because we don't always want to rush to the supplement, because you've always told us that's just a supplement. We should at least be trying getting it from a whole food source.
Yes, that's right. So then we want to go for the lower histamine probiotic foods, because they're usually better tolerated and they are either histamine neutral or they can actually reduce histamine. So those are the ones that we want to go for. And those would include things like yogurt, for example. We want plain yogurt with live cultures and a short fermentation time. So the longer it's fermented, the more likely there is to be a higher a histamine production. Kefir is the same thing. So we want to make sure that the kefir is made with particular strains of bacteria. So we were looking for the Lactobacillus plantarum and the Bifidobacterium. Those are also lower histamine producing strains.
Are there any others that that you'd consider that are lower histamine probiotic foods?
Yes. So sauerkraut is also a lower histamine forming food. So especially if it's fresh, it mustn't be an aged one, and it must be one that is, you know, hasn't been put in a jar and has a very long shelf life. So you want those that have got a shorter shelf life. And then coconut yogurt or kefir, so that is fermented with actual coconut as opposed to dairy yogurt. And those also should have lower histamine cultures in them.
I just want to quickly touch on the yogurt one. I know all of these others are available, certainly more now than ever before. But for many, yogurt is sort of a go-to refrigerator staple. Obviously, we need to stay away from the sweetened, flavored ones. And you're saying sort of the plain yogurts. Are all yogurts created equal if we're buying a plain yogurt?
No, they're not all created equal. But most of your, if it's a plain yogurt, you generally are going to be okay with that. If especially if it says that there's live bacteria on the label. But again, I think we have to invest in the better quality yogurts, and not generally the ones that are sort of bulk produced. So those would be better. But as a rule, if we're thinking about natural yogurts, most natural yogurts should be okay.
Well, this is very interesting. So these are the lower histamine probiotic foods that Dr. Wendy's talking about. So I guess to counterbalance that, there are probably probiotic foods out there that are going to be containing histamine-producing bacteria, which could make symptoms worse. And we're talking obviously about how to make symptoms better. So what are some of those higher histamine probiotic foods?
Okay, so you would be looking at things like aged cheeses here. So Parmesan cheese, cheddar cheese, especially the mature cheddars, blue cheese. All of these have a long fermentation process and that increases the histamine content. You would also have things like the aged, as we spoke about earlier, the sauerkraut. So if they've been long fermented, sauerkrauts and kimchi, they will also be higher in histamine. So you are wanting to check how long the product has been fermenting for. We would also have things like soy ferments, like miso, soya sauce, tempeh. They can be higher in histamine too.
This is really fascinating. We touched on kombucha as well. I know that's quite popular in my house. Where does that sit? Is that also one of the high histamine probiotic foods?
Yes, that one can also be higher in histamine, so we do want to watch that. And as with everything, some people will be able to tolerate, say, perhaps yogurt and not kombucha, or they might be able to have sauerkraut in whether it's long fermented or short fermented. We have to learn to know what triggers our body. So we would have to try and see, okay, we know we feel okay on this. We know that this particular item doesn't trigger our symptoms. But as soon as we have an overproduction of histamine and our symptoms are really bad, I would, cut back on everything and then try and introduce them again one at a time to see which of the ones is the culprit.
So, what would those effects or symptoms be if we're having a food that's actually producing a histamine and that could be causing an effect on our bodies? I mean, what are we looking out for?
So it could be anything. It could be hives on the skin. It could be streaming nose, itchy mouth, throat, sort of anything that causes itching in the oral cavity. It could be lots of sneezing. It could be any sort of allergy-related symptoms. So sometimes there's stomach issues as well. You could have headaches. There are several symptoms that are associated with histamine production, overproduction of histamine in the body.
This is so interesting. And I think one thing I've learned over the time that we've chatted on Thursdays, Dr. Wendy, is that what affects you doesn't necessarily affect me. This doesn't have a one-size-fits-all approach. We have to go right back to what you said a few minutes ago. We have to see what works for our bodies. So we need to be a little bit more in tuned, I think, than we very often are, to think this might not be to do with the seeds blowing around or the grasses that are seeding at this time of year. This could just be some of the things I'm choosing to eat.
And remember, the burden or the load that we have on our systems can be exacerbated by, what's floating around in the air, the higher pollen rate. If there's, if you live near areas that are sprayed with or their crops and there's wheat that's being threshed, then that kind of thing can definitely add to the burden. But it might not just be that. We might think it's just the pollen, but no, it could definitely be something that we're eating as well.
This is so interesting. So, is there anything else that we can do that's fairly natural that's going to help? I mean, I've started some nasal irrigation when I first struggled with some hay fever and stuff like that. It actually worked exceptionally well then when there was a bit of a cold that also seemed to sort things out to clean the nasal cavities. I mean, is that something that we could all do?
Yes, that's definitely something that everybody can do. And if you're using a saline solution, it's not going to be harmful. It's not going to irritate the mucous membranes in the nasal passages. So that'll be a good way to do that, especially if you struggle with congestion. So if congestion is one of the things that you tend to get, those sinusy symptoms, then using a neti pot and doing a nasal irrigation would be very beneficial. And then you could also use something like a colloidal silver nasal spray. which has antibacterial and antiviral and antifungal properties. And so that can also get rid of any of the bacteria or the yeasts or the fungi that are breeding in the sinus cavities. And it can help to clear those infections a little bit more easily.
Interesting. Any other natural approach to like a natural antihistamine that we could consider?
Yes, so we would have things like stinging nettle, which is often being used as a natural antihistamine, and some of the quercetin supplements would have a nettle in it as well. But you can also get nettle teas. So stinging nettle is something that could be very beneficial to use as either a tincture, tea, or in a supplement. And then you get essential oils, and those can be diluted and inhaled, or they can be used in a diffuser, and or rubbed onto the body. So under the feet, if you're using like a eucalyptus or a peppermint oil, that rubbed under the feet, believe it or not, will also help with your sinuses. And you can apply it around your nose and inhale it. And that helps as well for any congestion in the nasal cavities.
Well, there you have it. From quercetin to essential oils and lower histamine probiotic foods and higher histamine probiotic foods. This has been a fascinating conversation, as always, with Dr. Wendy. That wraps up this three-part series. And I hope you found it beneficial. And I found it so interesting, managing seasonal allergies and hay fever. So massive thanks to Dr. Wendy Christian, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Dr. Wendy, thanks for your time and your expertise. Look forward to connecting again with you next week.
It's a pleasure, Brad. Have a great Thursday.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.